Thanks for tuning back in to Skinwalker Radio. We appreciate each and every one of you guys listening to the show. We couldn't do this without you, so be sure at the end of the show to leave a review. Join the Facebook group, follow us on social media. I'll have all the pertinent links at the bottom. So today's episode is all about the coronavirus, but before I get to the details of the coronavirus, I have to put in a plug for something really important. You may or may not know of a man named Ryan Skinner. Ryan Skinner is a long-term Skinwalker Ranch researcher, and while he was at a UFO conference talking about Skinwalker Ranch and UAPs and ATIP and OSAP, he came home to his house on fire. He lost everything. His house is gone. All of his possessions, his clothes, everything. Everything in the world he owned was in that house. Now it's all gone and he's homeless. Unfortunately, he did not have insurance. I don't know if he was renting or what the situation there, and that's really not important. What's important is that if you value Skinwalker Ranch and if you're interested in the subject, that you consider donating to his GoFundMe. So there will be a link at the bottom of the show notes where you can support that. And anything you feel you can give would greatly help this guy. He's done so much for the UFO Skinwalker community throughout his long time research, and he's really helped us kind of get to the bottom of the truth. And I think you'll probably be seeing him around a lot more. I think he's really made a name for himself, and he might even be on TV soon. Who knows? But regardless, it's a good thing to do to help support the community. So once again, please go check out the GoFundMe link that I will put in the show notes of this episode and many others after this and help support Ryan Skinner. So back to the show. This episode will be all about the coronavirus. I'm sure you've heard about the coronavirus and how it started in China and has since swept to about 60 countries on Earth, including the United States. So the real question is what is going on with the coronavirus? Where did it start? How bad will it get? And those are some of the topics we dive into. Full disclosure, we go a little doomsday preppers. Not to alarm anybody, but we just feel it's a good idea to have a certain amount of stuff on hand to help ease the pain of any kind of incident, whether it's man-made, natural, whatever. So we dive into that and what that might look like for you. So yeah, I hope you guys enjoy the episode, and thanks for listening. All right, so we're talking about coronavirus today. So, yeah, it's a bioweapon, obviously.
Yeah, I struggle to see how anybody could not think that it's a bioweapon at this point. Or if it's not a bioweapon, then it was something in a lab and they were doing research like they usually do, and then somebody left the door open.
It just walked out?
Well, so that happened in America a while back, too. I'd have to Google to find it, but they found, like, a vial of smallpox in like a janitor closet. I mean, that's like one broomstick falling down from wiping out, you know, the whole town that it was in. So shit happens. I mean, we can't like rule out shit happens. I mean, I just struggle to believe that people ate bats and now it's the apocalypse.
Yeah. Yeah, they eat so much weird shit. I saw a video the other day. A guy was in the market and he took a bullfrog alive and just bit its head off. And that was just the thing that they were doing. And it's disgusting. But the fact that they created the virus in a lab in Wuhan, and then this all happened, it's Umbrella Corps.
Yeah, it's Umbrella. Yeah.
Did you see
that
meme?
Exactly what's going
on. Yeah, Wuhan is Raccoon City from Resident Evil.
Yep. Well, and I think that's the big one, too, that the mainstream media in America is just so worthless, because even if you don't buy into the conspiracy angle, how can you not run the story that, this city where this all started in China just opened a new, you know, disease research center in like 2017, 2018. And the main doctor that ran the place specialized in diseases that go from animals to humans. Coronavirus, allegedly this particular strain, crossed over from presumably bats. That also just happens to be something that's on this guy's resume here just a couple years later. So, and then you got to figure the reaction too. So like, How bad did they know this was going to be, and when did they know it? So if somebody left the door open, so to speak, at the lab, and then told somebody, and went, oh shit, I would think the military could show up a lot quicker than, there's a lot of people getting sick today. That would take, I would think, months for there to be a reaction as big as what there was. So to me, it just screams it was in a lab. And the Chinese government's never going to admit that. Hell, the American government would never admit that if that's what happened.
Yeah, the only things that Chinese do well is lie and kill people. You know, they have concentration camps where they keep the Muslims and the Christians and things out in the boonies. They just drag people away in the middle of the night. You know, it's endless. And in China, people don't know and often forget that they killed 60 million Chinese people, you know, post-World War II. And the whole effort was to bring people away from the farms and rural life to develop cities overnight, put them in factories and industries, and turn China into a manufacturing powerhouse. And they wanted to do it within one generation, and they did. But the side effect of that is now that they took everyone away from the farms, everyone starved to death. And that's how 60 million people were killed by Mao Zedong. And people always talk about Hitler, right? 6 million people.
Right.
Yeah, you know, 6 million is nothing compared to 60 million that you starved to death of your own population.
Communists always get off easy.
The Chinese will do literally anything they need to do in order to maintain control, in order to fulfill their promises to their own political party. So if you take that into context, the Chinese people have a terrible issue with their economics right now because they got way too many old people and not enough young people. So the old people are living forever because they're Chinese, and that's just what happens. And they don't have enough young people coming in the pipeline to fill the money coffers to take care of the old people. So what better way could you fix your problems by having a bioweapon released into the Chinese population that specifically targets the older population? Kids get it, I guess, but they don't get it nearly as much, and they don't get it nearly as bad. It's the old people. You know, and if you watch Instagram, there's a Brian Kolfage. He's the guy who crowdfunded the border wall. He's the Air Force veteran, I think, legless, and it's that guy. He's been posting live leak videos all the time. And in China, they take videos, and the Chinese police show up in hazmat suits, and they just drag people away, like healthy-looking people. And they just beat down the doors, they break them down with sledgehammers, and they just drag them away. Presumably to the hospital, right? But, you know, you never really know. Where are they really taking those people? Are they basically sentencing them to death, essentially?
Right, because they're not a compassionate government. And so you have to figure, even in any medical practice, there's triage. So that's going to mean who has the best chance to survive, who's the most wounded, who's the most useful in the emergency situation, right? That's the order that it goes in. So if you're the ruthless Chinese government and you have an old people problem, or a sick people problem, you know, what do you do?
Yeah, no, absolutely. In phase two of that, right? So let's just say it's a bioweapon. They created it and it targets the old people. It fixes their economic problems long term because they got rid of the one child policy. Now you can have two kids. So now you can have two kids. We don't have the old people like we used to have. Side note, all of the vaccines are made in China. So America is up Schitt's Creek because once it comes here, and it sounds like it's going to be inevitable, right, by the CDC's own language, we don't have anything to do vaccine-wise to combat this. One, there is no cure. There is no vaccine. We don't have the ability to develop it in a timely manner. The earliest I heard was like November.
Right.
And then we don't have the ability to manufacture it because everything is outsourced. So the Chinese virus was created, kills their own people, fixes their economy while simultaneously tanking ours. You know, the Dow Jones is down like 13 points. It's the lowest single week since 2008, which is, that's a big damn deal.
Yeah.
So really, all the boxes are being checked for China right now. You know, and if it's a coincidence, it's a hell of a coincidence.
Yeah, well, in the words of, what's his name, Rahm Emanuel, right, never let a good crisis go to waste. So, could still have been an accident, but, it happened. Might as well use it.
Yeah, and, you know, they keep talking about this thing like it's kind of like the end of the world. But if you look at the data, yeah, it's not really that much worse than the flu. So why is this getting so much attention? And I kind of have to wonder. So let's go deep state conspiracy, right?
100%.
So deep state conspiracy.
I'm hoping this would happen.
Epstein didn't kill himself, by the
he
way.
Didn't.
So you have all the big major media outlets, and they're freaking out about this. Why do they not talk about like the common cold and the flu in the same terminology and in same fear level when that obviously kills more people?
Right.
And why was SARS almost the thing that's unheard of in America, even though it killed like a lot of people, you know, throughout the Middle East and Asia, right? So why is it this one? Is it because we have Donald Trump in office? Is that really what it is?
I think there's a very good argument to say that that's the case. Because it just, there's so many threads you could spin off on this one. So the very first thing I said when we started this was the media is dead. Because even if it's not a conspiracy, I don't know how you don't run the story about the city where this all started has a new lab with a new doctor who just happens to be in this world of this kind of virus. And you never see that story anywhere. In fact, so nowhere that you had to go digging through like old newspaper articles to find it. So it goes from there, and then it comes over here, and they're already, you know, freaking out. You know, California in particular said they want to test like some 8,000 people. They're waiting on tests and yada, yada, yada. And then there was a story, you know, they're hanging the White House out to dry on this one. But I kind of seem to have read that sounded like the White House said, we want these people on separate planes. And then somebody underneath that, the deep state, said, no, let's put them all on the same plane, right? So where did all the people on the plane go? Apparently most of them were cleared or whatever, but it's just one of those little details that's like, so, I mean, what really happened and where did it go? And so if, I mean, nobody in America has died. And I think there's only 60 people, I think, confirmed cases, and they're all like in super secure locked up facilities. So why is it becoming such a big deal before anything has really become a big deal? That's I guess the thing that would make me wonder. And if you just look at it politically, what outlets is it that's running these stories? It's kind of all the fake news type ones you would expect to be running those stories. It's, you know, Nancy Pelosi, the New York Times headlined an opinion piece saying we should call it the Trump virus. And it's like, this has nothing to do with any of that.
Yeah, it seems to be a lot of political posturing going along with it. But what's interesting is it does seem to be a legit disease, right? So I was watching the news, and the Iranian deputy minister for health was on live television giving a speech, and his little guy next to him was sweating bullets, looking like total dog shit. Come to find out, he's got the virus. So the Pope was giving a mass to people who have the virus,
he's sick. Yep.
And he is sick right now. They're not saying if it's the coronavirus, but I mean, A plus B equals C.
Right.
It kind of looks like the Pope has the damn coronavirus right now, which that's kind of a big deal. So it's taking out public figures,
yeah,
which is unusual.
Especially interesting in the Iran case, because it's not just there's a couple of them in Iran now. How did these high government guys, you know, why them? You just can't make this shit up. It's like straight out of a Tom Clancy book.
So I also wonder, so let's just say it's not Chinese. Let's say it's an American virus. Let's say Trump is the QAnon 4D chess master,
mm-hmm.
right? Got his eyes set on Iran, got his eyes set on China. Basically, the new American century. We're taking over the world again. We're making America great and keeping America great. So he has a virus that somehow gets released, and let's just say he did it for argument's sake.
Sure.
So you take out China, right? You bring them to their knees. You take out Iran. How are they spreading this virus? Like, it seems kind of random, but then again, you know, if you take out Iran, you take out China, well, those are two of Trump's biggest enemies right now, and America seems to be pretty well untouched for the moment.
Right.
But then again, the deep state comes in. Okay, it's time to freak out. You know, freak out about what exactly? I don't know, because so far it's nothing to freak out about here.
It's the speculative thing, you know, the stock market, this ridiculous reaction. It's like what you see before a president gets elected. So, what was it when I think in the last debate there was one, not the, this election cycle, but the last one, where Bernie's doing really good, and so the stock reacts by tanking because, you know, the big money doesn't want a socialist running. And I think we're kind of, that might be playing a hand in the same thing, is that, you know, one of the biggest parties in America is going to potentially put up a candidate, whether it's Sanders or Warren or whoever, that's advocating for the mass destruction of, you know, private money, and people aren't going to like that. So you're going to see a lot of the money leave the market, and it's going to be blamed on coronavirus. Plus, you have the whole, we didn't really fix any of the problems that happened in the last economic crash, right? We just kind of helicopter money, bailouts. All the same things are happening again. And so, well, it's coronavirus this time. It's the ultimate, like, narcissism of government to say that, well, it's nothing that we've done wrong. It must be this other thing's fault.
Yeah. So back to the China did it. China has been the biggest buyer of gold in the world for like the last decade. Yeah. So if people are pulling their money away from the U.S. dollar because the U.S. dollar is crashing, well, they're going to go to gold. And then again, China stands to benefit if that happens. Say the whole world freaks out and they go to gold. Well, guess who's sitting pretty? China. Because guess who doesn't have any more gold? America. You know, and that's been a big issue for a long time. So, yep, one more box check for China did it. And not only that, central banks, right? So there was an article talking about central banks. They're basically foaming at the mouth to helicopter money all over the place.
Oh, yeah, it's coming. It sounds like Sunday they're going to announce something. Yeah,
and print money, you know, so it's a wet dream for the globalists is what it is. Inflation. You know? Every single war we've been in is all about the money. It's not about oil per se. It's about how oil is traded, you know, and it all has to do with central banks. And China doesn't play the central banking game. Iran doesn't play the central banking game. And Russia doesn't play the central banking game. Been really quiet about Russia, though. You don't hear anything about coronavirus at Russia at the moment. But there's only a couple countries on the earth, I think, that can go full lockdown mode and defend themselves in a true fashion. And it's probably China, like North Korea and Russia.
Sure.
You know, what's interesting is that the homogenous cultures allow for that.
Yeah.
That's why we're fucked if that happens.
Yeah, because that I think is the other one that's missing here is, you know, set the conspiracy stuff aside, China might be the best place for this kind of thing to happen because of their ruthless nature, right? Because they're willing to say, hey, you're quarantined to this town and we're going to shoot you if you try to leave. I guarantee you if they come to Texas or Kansas or whatever and they're like, you guys aren't leaving this town, half the population of that town is going to be like, fuck you, military, you're done.
Yep.
And then war is probably not going to last that long. I mean, unless they start bombing each other, which at that point, maybe it really is the apocalypse.
Yeah, and that's why we're fucked, exactly that reason. You know, Americans have such a rebellious spirit that even if it literally saves the world, fuck you, won't do what you tell me, put on some Rage Against the Machine, it's going down.
And what's funny is I'll probably be one of them, and I'm fully aware of it.
Absolutely guilty. I'm guilty as sin on that deal. You know, a bunch of guys in mop suits show up and, you know, quarantine the city. Well, guess what? We'll see about that. But yeah, it's crazy, you know, and it makes me wonder, like, let's just say that it does happen in America, because the language that, you know, the feds are using is making it sound like it's a done deal. What happens, right? What does that look like? So the economy is already tanking. There's only 63 cases in America. They're talking about shortages of medicine already.
Shutting down schools.
My company has banned international travel for all of their employees, and I work for one of the biggest companies in the world. And what does that look like? So let's just say it hits that one patient zero in California who they have no idea how he contracted the disease. So what happens when the homeless guys get it?
Oh, man.
And then they start shitting all over the fucking sidewalks in San Diego. You know, and let's just say the dogs come and they eat the shit, you know, and now the dogs have it.
Well, so did you see today in the news, I think it was in China even, an owner who got coronavirus, their dog has it now. So that shows that that was one of the big fears originally, is that if it came from animals, jumped to humans, what if it mutates again and can jump back into other animals? Well, now potentially it can jump from the dog to somebody else in yet another iteration. So, you know, it's like the flu shot has three strains of the flu, and they guess as to which three they think will be prevalent in any given region, and then that's the flu shot you go get. So coronavirus, if it's not just going from me to you, but it's coming from the dog and from the cat, which one do you pick? What are you actually making the vaccine against, right? Because you can't vaccinate against the common cold, right? Because there's so many ridiculous strains of it, it would just be a futile effort.
Yeah.
So if it's now like you get coronavirus, you go home and you get better, but you got your dog sick, and then now it jumps back into you as something. I mean, just.
Yeah. 15% of the people who have the coronavirus and get over it get reinfected randomly, not because they get re-exposed to someone else. It lays dormant. So it's like a 21-day or 28-day incubation period. So you just infect everybody. Then you're sick for like 3 weeks. And then you're good for 2 weeks, and then you get it back again 15% of the time. And I've heard stories that of those 15, like, it's deadly. If you get it that second time, like, you're just dead.
Well, there's things that people don't even realize, too. Even, like, strep throat and, I don't know, things like bronchitis or whatever, bacterial type stuff. your toothbrush, right? You get up in the morning and you brush your teeth, and then, you know, you're sick, you're still brushing your teeth, you get better, same toothbrush.
Yep.
And so you end up getting sick a couple weeks later because it's little things like that that you don't think about. I mean, you might be washing your hands, but using the same toothbrush, maybe you sneezed and some got on your hairbrush. You're surrounded by so much. It's especially if they say that this coronavirus can live for what was like a couple weeks on a hard surface. I mean, so how much stuff is getting shipped from China? How long does it take the boats to get here?
All of it.
How many guys touch those boxes when they're unloading them into trucks?
Yeah.
Where do those trucks go? I mean, it's probably already here and we just maybe haven't seen it yet.
Yeah. And that's what sucks, is because that's why we're so fucked, because we're not independent and everything comes from China. So if the Chinese are sick, well, then we're just going to get sick too. And I wonder what that looks like long term for America. So let's just say mass pandemic America. Like, what does that look like? It looks like a zombie survival movie is what it looks like. In America, it does, because we got 3 days worth of food and a grocery store and then we're done. So if the truck driver has coronavirus, or if the truck driver is too scared to deliver it because he's worried about contracting coronavirus, you know, so it's just a chain reaction. At a certain point, everything just implodes.
Oh, absolutely. I had this conversation with coworkers today. It was like, so we all work here and, you know, we get called on our days off to go back in and do stuff. Well, now let's say that there's coronavirus in the factory, but they've got this really important thing that they got to get finished and they got to ship. Well, I don't want to go to work because you got coronavirus. Well, okay, you lose your job. Okay, I don't have a job. How do I pay for my house?
Right.
How do I pay for this? How do I pay for that? So how far do me or you or anybody listening, you know, especially if you're a parent, how much risk are you willing to put yourself in when it comes to going about your job or whatever before you just like, fuck it and stay home? And at that point when you say, fuck it, I'm just going to stay home, well, then what? Because now your cash flow stopped. So how much stuff can you squat on and stay put and be comfortable? And how, you know, that's a big one that I don't think a lot of people are ready to confront, because we've shamed the idea of prepper into retardedness when really it's just
practical
preparedness. I mean, try not to have a shitload of debt, be on good terms with your mom and dad and your grandparents so that you have somewhere else you can easily go if you need to, right? Or people that can help you out. I don't know.
Yeah. You know, prepper today is what our grandparents and great grandparents used to just call life.
Yeah.
Right.
Canon so food.
So how much can I possibly have on stock? You know, that's just how it was. You know, it wasn't because they thought the doomsday was going to come necessarily, the zombie apocalypse. It's because, okay, we don't have electricity. We don't have combines.
Right.
It might not rain next summer. So what can I stock away now? And how much of that will last me through an entire year if it needs to? And how do I make that do? And that has always been statistically the way humans have viewed things. And
very recent phenomenon.
Yeah. And it's only since post-World War II that has changed.
Right.
When the Industrial Revolution happened, then World War II happened, and then the explosion and mass market production of food. Right. So we didn't even have really like canned goods with barcodes until like 1949 or 1950. And we take it all for granted. And we just like, oh, let's go to the grocery store. Okay, well, where we live, tornadoes are a thing. And if there is going to be a tornado within a couple of hours, good luck going to the grocery store and picking up the things you're going to need.
Right.
If there's going to be a massive snowstorm, good luck going and finding milk, eggs, bread, cheese. It's just gone.
Oh, and people are so reactionary. Like, I remember this really well. This was, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, and we're right smack dab in the middle of Tornado Alley. And the news was, every year they get a little bit more sensationalist. So they were
terrible
just over the freaking weather. So they were building up this thunderstorm for a couple days in advance. Oh my gosh, there's going to be a high likelihood of tornadoes.
Unsurvivable.
Yeah. And they do that all the time. And it's to the point we're used to it. You know, the joke about people in the Midwest is, you know, we're just going to stand on the porch and watch. It's kind of true, but kind of not. But anyway, so they've been broadcasting for days that storm of the century, storm of the century. And so I was coming home from work, and apparently everybody else decided to leave that day too at the same time, because everybody wants to get in their 8 hours and they, you know, they want to leave. So the highways, I usually takes me about 20 minutes to get home. It took me an hour and a half, my usual 20 minute drive, to get home that day. And so it was like,
and for the record, this is like 12 miles.
Yeah. And there was no tornado.
Yeah.
Ended up being no tornado at all. It rained, a little bit of thunder, then at the end. So the thing that was enlightening there was you saw how reactionary people were to this, what really should have just been a common sense kind of thing. I mean, you live in Tornado Alley. Like, you know what to do when the weather's bad. But apparently not. Everybody just panics and goes retarded. And so some of that's on the news because there were so many more people on the highway now at this certain time that if you're stuck out there, you're for sure dead. I mean, it's worse to do that than it is to go panic. And that's going to be how this whole, you know, the Armageddon scenario is. If you're thinking you can do it to the last minute because you don't want to spend the $100 an hour or whatever, you're going to be hosed. Yep. Because especially if it is genuinely bad, like you're talking like societal breakdown, yeah, there's going to be people with guns at the grocery store fighting over that can of green beans.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So if you're listening to this, I challenge you to do something. As soon as you hear this, go out, go to the grocery store, go to your Walgreens, your CVS, your Costco, your Sam's Club. Look for surgical masks and look for like latex or nitrile gloves. Just as an experiment, you know, just see. I bet you money you won't find very many. If you find any, it might be like one or two boxes, and that's it. If you're lucky, look online. Look on Amazon right now. Look on Walmart right now. Gone. You can't get them. It's already too late.
Another good place to try and look for stuff like that would be like Home Depot and Lowe's, right? You can go look for stuff like people paint, stuff like that.
Yeah, a little off the wall place. People don't
Army,
think about that.
Army Navy surplus, if you got one of those around, the surplus chem stuff, there's still some of that around.
So, you know, being in the military, they kind of instill a certain amount of preparedness into you. So that's 90% of everything we do is just planning for things, right? So you can't help but carry that over into your civilian life. And so in this situation, the best thing you could possibly do is have the ability to hunker down in your own home for 2 months, right? Maybe even longer, but let's just say for argument's purposes, 2 months, the thing runs its course through your city and then it's gone. And then it's more or less safe to come out of your house at two months, probably longer, but we'll just say 2 months at a bare minimum. So what does 2 months look like? So a human needs 1,500 calories a day, right, to survive. You know, an adult, and that's not much, really, because you're still probably going to be hungry for a lot of us.
Lose a lot of weight.
Yeah. You'll live, but it's not ideal. So 1,500 calories, for reference, that's 3 cans of chili, you know, per day, per person, right? So 3 months, so you're talking... 12 weeks, you know, so 12 weeks, 3 cans of chili per day, that's how many you would need. And that's a lot of cans of chili, you know, if you're eating nothing but chili. And that's just for reference. So obviously you would want to have a lot of variety in your diet. You don't want to just eat cans of chili. If chili is all you got, well, chili will do because that's protein, fat, and carbs.
Right.
And that's what you need. You know, and I have, we have a friend that's like, oh, I'll just eat a bunch of rice. You're not going to eat rice for 3 months, bro. Yes, you will survive, but you will be miserable.
You'll have pasty skin. You'll look terrible.
You will shit yourself to death before the coronavirus hits you. Like, don't do that to yourself. Go to the store. I really honestly do think that everybody should have at least a month's food supply at any given time.
Yeah, you know? I think the month of food for sure, because honestly, it's not that hard. It's like...
No.
Save up and do an extra grocery trip 1 month, done.
Yeah.
And then the other one is I would put back to like the finance thing. I've always kind of gone by, you should be able to make your house payment for 3 months minimum at all times. Like, you can let your electricity get turned off. You can let them turn the water off. You can get away from that for a short period of time, but you know, you won't lose your house over some stupid shit. But back to the military point. So we talked about China being able to have this massive rapid response. So one of the great conspiracies of all time has been, how would they enact that? You know, how do they take the entire United States and turn it into Waco, right? Like, what would be the premise for that? How would they be able to excuse that? Well, in my mind, it's something like this, mass pandemic. Because it is kind of hard to logically argue with that. You know, in the sense that, well, this town is infected and you're stuck in this town, but this town is safe. We don't want it going over here because there's 10 million more people that right now are fine. If 10 people go over there, those 10 million people are gone. So we got to put a tank on the highway and say no. Like, as terrible as that is, and I'm absolutely going to be the guy, like, I'm going to blow up that tank. I don't know. Is that how they do it? Is that how martial law in the United States becomes practical?
That's how they want to do it, but think of it in terms like this. So I was in Iraq in 2010. So 2010, the war had already been going on for 3 years. And in 3 years, 7 years, sorry, for 7 years. And in 7 years, with 500,000 boots on the ground, we could not take over Iraq and create that scenario, right? So Iraq has the population the size of Kansas. Right, so what are we gonna do with for 500,000 troops, the world's best military, anything you want at your disposal, any amount of money you want to throw at a problem? We can't subdue Iraq, which is 8 million people. What are we gonna do for 300 million people with one of the biggest continents on the planet?
And there are more guns than people in that country.
Yeah.
And about half of those people own 2/3 of all those guns. So,
yeah. So, yeah, sure, Washington, D.C., that's a gimme.
Sure.
Quarantine, walls, borders.
East Coast, West Coast, they'll fall.
Yep. So, yeah, it's physically impossible to institute the martial law like people think, Alex Jones style.
It would have to go airplanes really, really quick. And then the problem with that would be you're still asking the guy in the airplane or the guy on the ground to do that.
Right.
There's going to be a significant amount of those guys that when it gets to that level, they're like, yeah, fuck it, I'm going home. Like, Hurricane Katrina is a good example of that, because where were all the police officers? Yeah, at some point that guy said, fuck it, my family's more important than these assholes out here. I don't care about your TV, sorry.
Yep.
And that's rational. So the only martial law thing would be the assumption that the airplanes are all going to... Because I see politicians say this all the time. Famously, Eric Swalwell said, oh, well, the U.S. government has nukes. Well, you're asking them to actually launch them, which I think is kind of a stretch. And then even Joe Biden recently said, you're not going to fight against the American military. They got planes and tanks. It's like, well...
Vietnam.
And it's like...
Afghanistan.
You know, is a young male, I've met a lot of those guys that are associated with those planes and tanks. And yeah, Joe, I don't know how many of those guys are actually on your team there.
Yeah, almost none of them. So yeah, I just reject that whole scenario. I really do. If it does happen, it'd be such a short-lived thing, because those guys have families.
Right, yeah. You're going to quit showing up to work.
You know, if anything, it'd be the cops up front. So the cops might harass people. But, you know, we live in a metropolitan area of 400,000 people. There's just not enough cops.
No.
You know, and guess what? They live locally. You know, we know who they are. So if they're going to try to step up and pull some bullshit, they're going to realize real quick that when they go home, they might have some visitors. And guess what? They're probably not going to go back to work the next day. And that's exactly how that's going to go down. And so any military martial law thing just is not practical. It's not feasible. It's going to be more of an anarchy thing, you know, because those guys are going to wise up and stay home too.
Right.
You know, and so staying home, I think, is really the key. And in order to do that, in order to do that successfully, you need to have a lot of food. You need to have 1,500 calories per day, per person, of a wide variety of things. You need fruits, vegetables, meats, starches, and fats. So beans, rice, olive oil, tons of canned, frozen, pickled vegetables, and meats and fruits, right? Your fruits can be canned, your fruits can be dried, your vegetables can be canned, they can be frozen, they can be fresh, your meats can be frozen, they can be canned, they can be refrigerated, what have you. The power's not going to go off, right? So we're not going to run out of electricity. The water's probably not going to go off. The power is pretty much automatic unless the nuclear reactors melt down, which is unlikely. The water is more likely to go off than the power because it takes a lot of men to run water plants, and they can fail very quickly because they were all built 60, 75 years ago, and our infrastructure in America is dog shit. So yeah, have some bottled water on hand. Have a water filter, right? Think of ways that maybe you can get water. Do you have a well? Well, then, you know, pump water out of your sprinkler. You know, and fill some buckets. But yeah, if that ever happens here in America, that's how you do it. So protein, fats, starches, sugars, meats, vegetables, nuts, peanut butters, things like that. It's all shelf stable. Spend an extra $500 this month. Buy it. And don't buy a bunch of crap you're never going to eat. Buy things you would eat normally, right? And then rotate through those stock supplies.
Right.
So every week, okay, I need 12 more cans of vegetables of these six variety because I use two of each of them. and just keep them fresh and just rotate it like you would on a store shelf. You know, put the newest thing in the back, eat the oldest thing first. And if you do that, it's a one-time investment. And then it's just a normal grocery trip after that.
Right.
It's easy.
But coronavirus is totally a weapon.
Yep. Chi-Coms did it. But that said, I think we've beat this one to death. So that's a good place to end it. But no, seriously, you guys, if it's not the coronavirus, it's something, right? It was Zika. It was Ebola. It's going to happen on a long enough time span.
It's the massive earthquake that splits it in half.
Yeah. On a long enough time span, the probability of you surviving is zero. You know, it's a classic Fight Club quote. So think about what we've said. You don't have to go spend $1 million. Just do it slowly, right? So buy an extra couple cans, a couple cases, a couple things, a hamburger.
1,000 rounds of ammo.
1,000 rounds of ammo. You know, buy you an AK-47, buy you an AR-15 if you're old enough, whatever. It's just common sense.
I'd totally eat a dog.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Skinwalker Radio. We have a lot of fun bringing you guys this program. It's something we're really passionate about, and I know you guys are too. So let us know how we're doing. Leave us a review on Apple, Google, Spotify, anywhere you're listening. Give us 5 stars if you like the show. If you want to leave a written review, that would help a lot. That will help us reach new people who might be interested in the show, which helps us land awesome guests that can bring really cool stories for you guys to listen to. Join us on Facebook. We have a Facebook page and we have a Facebook private group that's also linked to that page. I'll put all that stuff in the show notes so it's easy for you guys to get a hold of us. You can also email us at skinwalkerradio@gmail.com and check out the website at www.skinwalkerradio.com.